Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I only pulled out two friendlies. One under Glenn Hoddle, he wasn't happy. And then the boss rang him.
I can't imagine. Did he blast him?
Yeah.
And it's awkward, isn't it?
It was awkward. With England,
he's sharp and studs.
Sharp studs yeah. Training.
His boots are that far off the ground.
His eyes looking at you like.
Yeah, he's crazy.
I think it's good to have a fight with someone. Let's not make our England our best buddies with each other. Yeah.
I don't think you should stop someone who.
I'd be embarrassed. When I was a manager, obviously players were getting called up. I'd be ashamed of my life to bring say. A player and go, you're not going.
I see Gareth Southgate standing on the line and the way he will be. He's got the stature to be a Man United manager.
That didn't feel right at the end.
Why?
What, you just pull out like a Marks and Spencer's bag.
Did you hear him say, I need to shake the ball back?
But the people, like, you know what? People saying, what was he doing to Stevie Wonder for? I wasn't doing Stevie Wonder. I was just making sure I wasn't looking in and I was going like this.
You're not taking it very well, you lot, have you? You don't take defeats very well. I thought it's just a little bit sort of, a little bit scruffy since Sunday, aren't you? A bit like, sort of, a little bit. Yeah. Hey, Jurgen, a little bit jumpy.
Can I say, with the celebration at home was gold.
Oh my God.
I was laughing.
Honestly, we were screaming.
The kids were running around.
Oh my God.
Was it a beautiful thing?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was such a good game night, Gal, the way it ended as well.
Oh, it was so beautiful.
Hey, bumped into him last night in the restaurant.
Who?
Dallow.
Hey, done well, eh, Dallo?
Really has.
He's been the best player this season.
You know what I was very surprised with?
Bigger than you think.
No, it's not. Taller. But what I was really surprised, remember when they played Folsom in that game a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
And they didn't start him, but they put Folsom. They started Folsom, but they didn't start him. But then he came on in that game. Yeah. I was thinking, with his experience, Sunderland, Rangers before and everything, I thought they would have started him.
Mohamed.
Yeah. I thought they would have started him.
Oh, you say Diallo or Dallo?
Diallo.
Oh, I said Dallo.
No, you know I love Dallo, but I'm talking about Diallo.
Diallo, yeah. But over the last month or so, it's been a bit of a odd one that he's not been given a chance, because obviously a few others have. Ah, Kieran's gone now. Our Liverpudlian friends left us. We just saw a little glimpse on Sunday of what it's going to be like in the future when the lion rises and roars again, and the hyenas.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
The hyenas disappear.
Are you talking about Lion King?
Back into the jungle.
Back in 2 weeks.
Back into the jungle. Oh yeah, yes. Oh, no, I forgot about that.
Who have they got in 2 weeks? Oh, they've got a couple.
In the league, we've got United, haven't we?
Oh yeah.
So we're back.
Hey, don't mess it up.
We won't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
You say that, Kieran.
Don't mess it up, my friend.
You say that, Kieran, but like that game against United.
You lost the league.
At this stage of the season when...
Oh, I did say that. If I have to look back at this season and go, Anthony derailed Liverpool's season, I'd give up.
Well, that could happen.
I felt like everyone was buzzing about him and he's still got, what, one goal, one assist in like...
Jill, why are you trolling?
He did quite well.
Give Anthony a chance, man. Give a brother a chance.
Yeah, I think a little bit of arrogance.
I felt really happy for him for some reason.
A little bit of arrogance.
No.
You were too good.
He was fuming though, weren't he, about having to change position?
Going to left back or something.
Yeah.
You know what? That's the thing. I'd never complain. You know what I mean? I remember Steve Cooper when I was at Palace for a while, he used to play me in all the positions, right back, left back, centre half, and just to, so you can understand where what you've got to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd play anywhere. Anthony's...
We used to play Gary at right back.
Left back in the change.
I played at right back for a while, remember?
You played centre half, did you play centre half?
Listen now, but right, Roy played at right position. Roy played at right back for a bit when he was just joined the club because he was struggling to settle in.
Right,
and
right.
Incy and Brian McClair were playing very well.
Can I be honest?
You couldn't leave a £3.5 million sign out. That was like an £80 million sign.
But Gary, with all due respect.
3.5.
3.6. 3.6. 3.75.
How much do you think you've been now?
3.77.
I think now
I found right back. You would be his position.
Honestly, I was just about to say the same thing.
What was Declan Rice? 100.
100. Yeah. 100.
You'd be 100. You'd be 100.
Yeah.
You'd be 100.
Thought so.
You'd be 100.
Wow. 100.
Declan Rice, wasn't it?
But anyway, right back, easiest position.
I think the right back's the easiest. Yeah.
Right in front of you, deal with a winger.
Yeah. See everything. You can get up there.
Do you remember?
I think that's, to be fair, subjective.
What, right back?
Yeah, I think because if you're playing against, let's say you're
playing. Do you know who I struggled against? I played against City. Was it a Beagrie?
Oh, Peter Beagrie.
Yeah, he's chopping you back and forward. You play against a wide player.
Your blood.
If you're playing against a wide player that's quick or got some skill, right back's not easy.
No.
Like, if you're playing in midfield against Ebril and Parkinson at Everton and they can't pass the ball and they just basically.
Put it this way, I went to right back, right? Listen.
Okay.
And I'd done a decent job for the team, right? I know we were strong. You couldn't go into midfield and do what I was doing.
Oh, no, that's what I get that. Oh, I get that.
Because right back's easier to do.
Yeah.
It's easier to do. Gary, don't.
It is easier to do.
Gary,
of course
just.
It is. You've got less challenges.
You've done brilliantly.
Everything's in front of you.
You've done brilliantly at right back, but it was easier to do.
I think for 10 years my career has been ridiculed since I finished.
He does get picked up.
No, I just think that right back.
I played 602 times for Manchester United.
You did. Hey, that right back, you wouldn't have played that in any other position.
Played 150 games at centre back.
Centre back, you were.
Did you?
Yeah, I was sitting in front of you.
I played centre back with Roy a couple of times.
I'm not taking that away from your career, but you would have only played that in right back. You couldn't have played anywhere else. Full back.
No, absolutely. Maybe centre back.
No, I think Gary could have been a good right centre back.
In a back three, you could play right centre back.
Anyone can play in back three. Fucking easy.
It's true. To be honest, me and Roy could play in a back three.
Right. The hardest position on the pitch, goalkeeper.
Centre midfield.
The second hardest position on the pitch, centre forward.
Really?
No.
100%.
Midfield's hard.
No. Centre forward is the hardest position on the pitch.
No.
You've got to receive the ball. It's the only position on the pitch, centre forward,
for Man City,
where you have to receive the ball with your back to play.
For Man City?
On a constant basis. Right? Everywhere else in the game, you're midfield sometimes, but more often than not now, midfield players, they receive the ball on the half turn, facing play. You know what I mean? Sometimes you receive the ball, number 10's.
Goalkeeper, you say, is the hardest?
Goalkeeper's the hardest position.
Why?
I think it's the most isolated position on the pitch. I think by far.
It's difficult at a big club when you go
there.
You think of Ramsdale, you think of Anana, you think of
They get to use their hands.
Carrius at Liverpool. You think of a big club playing as a goalkeeper. I tell you, it's horrible.
I think striker.
What, the hardest?
No, I think goalkeeper.
I think centre midfield and he thinks right back.
Anyone?
I think midfield. Midfield?
You've got to be able to get up the pitch, you've got to play with your back to play.
You make a mistake in midfield and you're covered by centre-backs, right-backs, defenders, goalkeepers. You can't really do a lot wrong in midfield.
You didn't ask that question. If you make mistakes as a goalkeeper, you're in huge trouble.
Yeah. I think the goalkeepers...
You miss chances of forward and it's a big...
But look at the physical challenges. If you're playing in the middle of the park, I'm going back a few years, if you're a goalkeeper, you can play till you're 40. Full-backs play till they're 40. Lads in the middle of the park, it's just different demands on your body.
Well said.
Joe, righty, the reason... I've heard Roy say this, actually. The hardest thing in football is putting the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Right?
For some people.
Yeah.
So, let's just concentrate on that. And then one of the hardest things in football is receiving the ball with your back to play with a defender behind you, knowing that they can step in front of you.
Yeah.
So to me, centre-forward is definitely the hardest position in the outfield positions. And goalkeeper is the hardest position at a big club.
Just feel the centre-half, side on, receive, set.
Yeah, but
pull off, shoot.
Yeah, but you come into the game, when I came in, you have to learn it. I didn't even know anything about having to hold up and link play and make space for someone else to come in. So then when you're now getting into a place where when you get there, when we're playing like that, because he's going to be running up here, he's going to be back in your... You can't lose that. Mm. So I'm just thinking, oh, my God, I can't lose. And it was one of the most nerve-wracking.
When I played centre-half, when I played right back, I found it OK. Centre-half against a good striker, it was difficult.
It's tough, you don't know.
When someone's got good movement and just spinning in behind.
You wouldn't have played right back against the top left winger.
Of course I did.
You're right. You played against Sheffield United once, I remember, at home in the early days.
I'm going to say...
look at your face. You know I'm right. I remember his games.
I love the way he puts words in my mouth. I definitely played 25 games at right back for Man United.
Not sure.
Who was the toughest winger?
Pigree.
Only Pigree.
So basically, he came in 93.
John Barnes.
So I was 18. So I was literally watching the right back. Our youth team coach used to make us watch the right back our opposition. Yeah. We used to have to go and report to our youth team coach on the Monday after and talk. He'd ask us questions about who played at right back, who played at centre back, how did they play, how do you think they played. So I would watch the right back. He played about 10, 15 games at right back. Can we find out how many games he played at right back?
Please, how are you going to find out?
It was the 93-94 season. He played in Sheffield United at home.
Ipswich.
Ipswich 9-0.
Scored, yeah. See, I got forward, got the first goal.
He played in what would be the inferior type games at full back, right? And then what happened was sometimes Sharpie would go left back and Dennis would go right back. It was when I was coming through and he'd dip me in, dip me out type thing.
So were you looking, thinking, I can take his shirt? Is that why you went for right back?
I was just looking at, to be fair, I was looking at why we signed this player for £4 million and played him right back. Yeah.
3.75.
Sorry, 3.75. No, to be fair, at the time, Incy and Chocky were in midfield, so he'd sometimes put you right back in.
Truthfully, one of the reasons he played right, I was due a hernia operation at the end of the season. He said, physically, you're struggling, man. So we put you in at right back.
I swear. I'm telling you. As if you can cope with it. Insults to the end.
You can get away with it.
Right, I couldn't get away with it in the middle of the park.
Do you know your running distances at right back can be a lot further? At United at home, can be a lot further than a midfield player, by the way. Quite often, my running stats going up and down that wing were far greater than the midfield. You sitting there doing that little turn and passing it forward and just sort of sliding across and shuffling.
You're
the one that
been
bombed.
No, can I ask you a simple question? What system did United play for years when we were
4-4-2?
Right. So what do you think the two midfielders were doing?
Oh, no, you did a lot of running, I get that. But my point is when we were winning games.
Cheers, right,
man. When we were winning games, he would sometimes he would do early days, would do quite a lot of running box to box, but towards the end, he wasn't doing
Was he the holding guy, like the six?
Yeah, then there was the brains, you know what I mean? Yeah. You're kind of insulting me. There's a couple of insults
where
coming
you going
my way.
With this guy? Because it's like, I'm feeling like the more you're getting on my man.
It's that.
I played centre half, I played right back.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, middle of the pack.
Did you play centre forward at any stage?
I think it's
at Forest. I did.
I think it's
that. Really
sold him right backs.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, but Perlo used to run the least, didn't he?
Centre half at Forest.
Because he was very
technical. Half at Forest.
Like 3 months here, we got relegated.
Perlo, that's what he was like at the end.
Yeah, but that was because they don't do like unnecessary running.
But Perlo, I was discussing Perlo this morning,
and we looked the same, me and Perlo. Yeah.
Same.
Perlo had Ambrosini and Gattuso either side. Two runners that could cover for him, basically.
Yeah, but he used to just be so technical, he didn't run.
Can I say just quickly on Pirlo? I remember Sean got into the England under-21s and I was in Spain at the time. I had to fly back to watch it, hopefully that he got. He was on the bench. He didn't come on. I was gutted because Platy was manager at the time. Thought, come all the way back, doesn't even play. But the bonus was Pirlo was in the midfield and that was the first time I'd seen him.
Yeah.
It was at Bradford and it was like... I was watching a
brilliant player
against 5-year-olds. It was like, you know what? I felt happy that I
was. Was he playing then?
He was playing centre midfield.
Was it?
Yeah. Holden.
Roy Hodgson had him at Inter Milan and he said he was a number 10 at the start.
Oh.
Honestly, it was like.
That helps then when you go back to that sit midfielder. You've obviously got all that composure, range of passing.
It was one of the best performances I've seen from a player of that age in what he was doing. It felt like you were watching a coach who were coaching like 10-year-olds what to do every time he got. It was. A masterclass at under-21s he was.
You'll know that we when we played them in, I don't know, it was the second time when we beat them, Jisung Park man-marked him the whole game. Man-marked Pirlo. Just literally stood on him.
Did he stop him?
He did.
Did he?
Yeah, did you not think of doing that when you were with England?
I remember that with England because I remember when he
got beaten in the York.
He picked the ball up right at the back and I said someone should be tight on him.
2012, we played the quarter-final.
Yeah.
We didn't man mark him. What Roy wanted to. We had Welbeck and Rooney there. And midfield was Parker and Gerrard. So basically what he wanted to do, he wanted them four to stay close stay together, leave him. The centre-backs with it, who I think is Bonucci or whatever. And he wanted the four to work together to try and make sure that one of them did that, so that he didn't man-mark him, but stopping it up with it.
Of course he did, against Italy.
Brilliant.
He had, I think, 110 passes.
I remember, yeah.
I remember.
There was one in particular when he dropped back, I think for their goal, for when they got, he dropped back and everyone just left it and he hit a ball, I don't know, 40 yards. Or, and it was like, what? You've got to watch this guy.
He was just so intelligent, weren't he? So intelligent. But that's what I mean, he didn't have to run. I remember he used to have the lowest running stats. He was just like...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I was actually amazed watching United for the last few years why Scholes, he wasn't man-marked every game. Mm. If you stopped him in the latter part of his career, in that last 3 or 4 years, getting it from a fullback or a centre-back,
just switching,
it was a switch of play.
That's what
if you stopped the switch of play, the whole team was out of position. He would literally pinpoint to say, whoever's out, take Rick Cristiano's left wing. He literally would find him, and if you stop it there,
he's one of them players you have to mark everywhere they are. Yeah,
they didn't know. I think West Brom. What was the guy Robinson at West Brom?
The fullback.
Yeah, he man marked him one game. I remember.
Was he good? Not,
he did. He did all right with it, but eventually Scholes started dragging him everywhere.
Yeah.
But no one man marked him.
Whenever we played with that role, though, I feel like everyone tried to take out... Like, Kira Walsh is that role, and I think it's the most important role on the pitch, and teams used to try and take her out all the time.
What, my marker?
Yeah, yeah. But she was so intelligent.
Me, that was strange, wasn't it?
It's usually the star player.
You should be my marked.
Yeah.
Rodri.
Someone should be close, and he picks it up.
On him, and stopping him getting the ball. Rodri, I think if you stop him at City, I'm not saying you stop everything, you don't, but I think you stop a lot.
Yeah.
I think if you stop Rodri, you stop a lot.
He's a big player.
His influence on their team is unbelievable. How he just links everything together.
They've got They've got so much. If you stop him, you're taking somebody out to stop him. They're going to create space somewhere. They're going to kill you.
At England, we practiced man mark, and I don't know if it was with Phil, and I was on the other team, and I'm following the midfielder. Literally, she was running off the pitch, and she was going to the toilet. And I literally followed her off the pitch. So wherever she goes, you go. I was like, right.
Did you, was it as a joke?
Just no, I didn't realise. I was like, why is she going to the touch? I took my joke very seriously.
That would be Phil, you know. So we used to have this game. Eric Harrison used to have this game. One sweeper at the back couldn't go over the final third, and that every other player on the pitch was man to man. You could only tackle that player. It was a fitness game.
Mentally, because
they always put you up against someone, and it was a tough game.
We used to do that. Martin Keown. I used to have Martin Keown. Jesus.
Is that what you used?
It was, you know, yeah, but the thing is, it helped being Martin Keown, because if you've got somebody like Martin who's marking you in training, like every day, you've got to do something to get away from him. You have to. Mm. You know what I mean? And even if you get away, if you do get away from him, he still scratch you, he'll still catch you, he still doesn't make it easy for you to get away.
He used to wear, with England, he used to wear
sharp and studs.
Sharp studs in training. And it'd be like the ground.
His boots
rocking.
Are that far off the ground. When you put them, if you put them on this hard surface, his boots are up here.
And his eyes looking at you like,
yeah, he's crazy.
Like he's going to kill you.
But like, it was a good thing. It was a good thing. That was a good thing to be marked by someone that aggressive.
Yeah. Was he one of the toughest that you came up against in terms of just being nasty?
It was really strange. Yeah, before he signed for Arsenal, he was tough to play against. But then once I started to play against him every day, you kind of learn certain things. And then what you do, when you get marked by a player that's that aggressive and that tight, it's up to the service, like someone like a Dennis or a Mercer, whoever it is, because then if you lose them for half a year, bam, you score, their job's nullified. It's like you didn't do your job.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be actually trying to get it and beat them and do stuff. You just need to get your opportunity.
Your spin was good.
I love
it. The little
doo-doo. You know where I got that off of? Lineker.
Lineker's spin was good, was it?
Lineker's spin was awesome. I remember he used to do it to Des Walker and it was tough against
Des. Was Lineker quick? Because spin,
no, he was sharp
spin.
Upstairs. Sharp. I mean, like when he got in front, because like I said, I see him do it against Dez and score. And it's all to do with the service you're getting, girl. The man on the ball. You know, I remember Dez, because Dez talks so much, but always smelt amazing. He's unbelievable aftershave all the time. Never stopped talking.
I thought Dez Walker was quiet just because he did an interview.
No, oh, no. Oh, Jesus no. Christ. If you want half an hour. Well, in fact,
let's get Des Walker on next week.
Yeah. If you want half an hour where you don't need to say anything, you just need to listen. Just say, Des, what about that new Porsche? Bam, 45 minutes worth. If you get on a plane at England, right, and you're sitting by the window, you've had a nightmare if Dez comes in and sits outside of you. Because you're just there all day going like that, yep, yep, for the whole flight. But
great lad,
he was
some
unbelievable guy.
He's still speaking,
so
right?
Yes, he does. Yeah, good guy. Yeah, really
Dez
good guy.
Dez was the hardest.
Oh, he sees everyone.
Dez and I've not Fabio seen him for ages. I do see him. Yeah, he's hardest really good defenders guy. I've ever played against because you never got an, even a sniff.
But what? He never spoke publicly to anybody, did he?
No, no, yeah. No, he's done media.
Like, he's one of the great lads, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Dez
yeah,
Walker.
Yeah.
One of the great.
Great for a night out, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the greats. Did, but the thing is with Dez, he would say to me, well, when we go and speak England and talk, he said, listen, you can make all the moves you're doing, but the level that he was at, I'm not looking at what you're doing. I'm looking at how much time the midfielder's got. How much time is it when he passes it to him, what move, what you do, because you've got to start making your move, because once he gets it, if his head goes down, you'd have had to make the move already. You'd have had to do something to me to move me. So he's watching him. So he's not even bothered about me. So then I had to think, fuck, Jesus, I'm going to have to go some. I'm going to have to go again in respects of learning how I'm going to have to beat a defender of this calibre.
But Dez always said, people thought he was lightning quick. He was, obviously, he was quick, he said, but not as fast as people thought. He said his strength was reading the game.
Reading the game.
Right. So I was there before, obviously.
Was that when he was playing against you in training, he would say that? Because I always think they're the best teammates, aren't they?
Now, the thing is, like you see, like in training, if you make a move, you say, well, see, I know you're not going to get anything there. But like I say, if you get Dez at the breakfast table or at lunch and you're speaking to him and he goes in and he starts, he'll just tell you stuff, you nuggets.
When I was a young player at Forest, you know, you're looking for senior players. I Stuart Pearson, Dez. But I used to see Piercy was a proper pro, the way he'd come in, was Dez. But I'd be out in Nottingham at night time and I'd see Dez in these bars and I'd be like, I want to be like Dez. I want to be like Piercy as well. I was torn between the two. Piercy had been a really top one, Dez's.
Yes.
Who were you more like?
He's in between. He actually made his own niche.
I wanted to be like Dez.
He had the best of both.
Yeah.
Welcome to Stick to Football, brought to you by Skybet. And this week, I'm joined by Jill, Wrighty and Roy. We will be talking about the fallout of the Liverpool-Manchester United game, Kobbie Mainoo getting drafted into the England squad, and Gareth Southgate, and the fact that he's getting linked quite strongly with the job of Manchester United manager. Do you know something? I was watching the game on Sunday, before the game, and I don't know if it was my wife or one of my daughters said, what's he got in his hand? I said, it'll be a pen.
No, it's not. It's like, for my. I have a real problem with sitting. Notice how I'll be able to sit still since I've had this in my hand. Because if I haven't got this in my hand,
come have a look.
I'm sitting. I can't sit.
It's just like a stress mechanism.
Yeah, I have to touch my face. I'm all over the place. I'm looking for stuff. But like, when I've got that, then I'm able to. I'm able to like just have it in my hand and concentrate.
You had it in your hand on Sunday on the pitch.
I have it on cheap DVD. I tried to hide it. I tried to hide it, but like it makes me very calm. It makes me chill. You know.
Can you get me one, please?
What did you say?
You didn't have it when you were doing the draw, did you?
No. It was in my pocket.
That didn't feel right at the end.
Why?
What, you just pull out like a Marks and Spencer's bag.
Did you hear him say, I need to shake the ball back?
But the thing is, you know what? I can't believe how many people got crazy over that because.
But it looks a bit.
But it's only four balls in. I think people were a little bit upset about the fact that there was like, we didn't know who was 1, 2, 3, and 4.
That was a great draw. It was fantastic.
The main thing is that they're so stringent on don't look in the bag, make sure that when the bag is tight before you open it, so you're not looking in. So in the end, people saying, what was you doing to Stevie Wonder for? I wasn't doing Stevie Wonder. I was just making sure I wasn't looking in and I was going like this. And it looked like Stevie Wonder, but I didn't want people to say, oh, that draw was wrong. Still, people slaughtered you, but I thought it was a great draw.
It was the most, what's the word?
It wasn't Rod Stewart.
Oh, I remember
amateur.
That one.
It felt the most amateur, sort of like, felt a bit 1955. That's a draw that would take place like 40 years ago.
Because even when I said to them, where are we doing it? They said, here by the desk.
And it was like,
where did you want to do it?
But you know what they were really...
No, the big mistake was you didn't know the team's numbers.
I think that was...
Usually, when the ball comes out, one, that's...
Just yeah. Know who it is.
Yeah, good point, actually.
Yeah, but at the same time, you go, number one, Coventry. And then you go, number three, Manchester United. Why do you need to know? You know, I'm telling you who it is.
Yeah, but you don't know before.
But as soon as Coventry came out, basically, United changed numbers, did it?
That's what people would say, but like they were so like nervous about make sure you do this. I said, listen, don't ask me to do it no more.
It's quite nerve-wracking.
It is, man. Don't ask.
Did they ask you
to do it again?
No, I was asked to come.
He had skin in the game. Could you imagine if he'd done it and Man United came out against Coventry?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was Graham.
But you're deemed neutral.
I was being neutral. I was being neutral. I thought I was very good neutral as well.
Yeah, yeah, it was the strangest FA Cup draw. I liked it, but it was, I'll do the next round.
But you know what? I didn't even realise at the time, just quickly. So I'd done Coventry and Man United, so we know what's next. And I was so close to saying, well, we know who's next, so I don't
just leave it. Yeah.
What's the point of drawing?
I was actually texting you, going, happy St. Patrick's Day and everything. And then I turned the telly on and you were there.
Some
I was like,
walk on a Sunday. Where were you, Jill?
I was in the coffee shop. We had like St. Patrick's Day, so I had a little drink for Roy.
See, I saw the hats. I saw your
yeah.
hats on.
Well, I had a hat and a beard, and he said, nice hat. I was like, you do know I've got a beard on this
whole time.
Didn't notice that.
Get a beard on.
But working St. Patrick's Day.
Irish coffee.
Irish coffee, nice. Yeah.
Of course.
I thought you'd be celebrating.
I was at the game.
Oh. That was a great game.
It was a great game.
It was nice to actually. I've not seen Old Trafford like, or feel like, oh, yeah, my yeah. God. They needed that.
You know what was really funny, just quickly? Because where we're sitting, you've got the United fans right there. So with Graham, obviously Graham's there. And as soon as United score, he goes, ah. Because he knows that they're giving him loads of stick. It was really fun to watch, man. It was fun to watch. So he turned round so he couldn't hear him, and they were banging the window. They wouldn't listen.
For
brilliant.
A neutral, it was a great brilliant, game. Yeah, it was so good. So good. Yous must have been buzzing, though, were you?
That's good, yeah. Goals, bit of entertainment.
Exactly.
United need that. The fans need that. I've not seen Old Trafford like that for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
They needed that bit of a boost. It was a mad game. I thought quality-wise wasn't great, but it was just entertaining.
It's a very tough game to analyse.
Actually, we walked away from the City game a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And we said, oh, can't do United. Do you remember we said can't do United games anymore? Because you just end up at the end of a game, just like, what else is there
but
to
it say? But it could have been easy like that again against Liverpool.
And then you think, to have a moment like that where you can just forget about all the nonsense.
The only way they were going to win that game, obviously Liverpool let them off the hook. Was it going to be Fernandes? Was it going to be centre-half? Anthony? It was going to be just a mad game.
Yeah, crazy.
Subs, extra time. It was. But if you analyse the game properly, United were still...
Oh, the second half, it was a killing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Liverpool let them off the hook, 100%. But that's
very strange at this stage of the season, I think, the mentality-wise, you'd have thought it would have been... in the gear of, right, let's finish this off because we've got so much to do.
Do you think making the subs, he thought that it was, I don't know,
maybe
just because they've done that in the Carabao Cup final?
Yeah, but why wouldn't you think that in the way it's been going for United and the way it's been going for Liverpool, you probably think, you know, this might be a good time to...
I think Klopp, and I think they've had a lot of plaudits for the subs coming on and making a difference, but it didn't make a difference. No.
Yeah. I think United surprised them. Surprised them with that because it felt a little bit like all in. Where's the chips? Put them all in.
Yeah. That's what I love about the FA Cup though. Like, if that's a league game, probably Liverpool win. I feel like FA Cup, it's just mentality. And
I had to finish on the day, Jill. You know, there was no replay.
Yeah.
There was a strange feeling about the game.
They've got to take replays away in the FA Cup. They have to take replays. They have replays in the earlier rounds, don't they? They've got to get rid of them.
I don't know, Gal.
All on them.
Penalties. We can't do that for the sake of.
I know the lower clubs. Save the competition, though, honestly. I mean, look, I would just like to think I thought that lower clubs need... But lower clubs could get a home draw.
Yeah.
Do you think about lower club gets a home draw and it's got a finish on the day, you've got a chance of a shock. Whereas if it's a replay at a big ground, you get the money. But where's the shock?
But, Gal, if we're going to be talking about what's more important...
Nah, but I don't know if that many
what's
clubs...
What's more important to them?
Make that much money out of it, you know what I mean?
Where are we going, Gal?
Right. The first one is...
Oh, we're finished.
The first one was actually off the back of the United-Liverpool game, because I think
we've covered that.
Was what's the best game that anyone's been part of? And mine was an FA Cup semi-final.
Which, who?
It was the one in 99.
Of course, Arsenal.
The goal, Giggsy. That was my best game I've ever been part of.
Were you annoyed with Jamie last week when you started about the intensity of rivalries?
Oh, yeah, you was, because Gary was... Yeah.
I still think people underestimate when us and Arsenal were going strong.
Oh, my God.
The quality of the football was really good. The speed of it...
I remember you came for me a bit, Gal, because you said, I can't believe...
And I was just joking.
No, but the thing... The point I would have made, and like the point I think Jamie was making was... It's not like from a football point of view how they're playing, you know, the rivalry and the actual Liverpool and Liverpool Man City's rivalry, the way they're playing. But ours was aggressive. It was nasty.
But it was quality, dude. Everyone's forgetting that, right?
When we done the soccer box, the game, I remember the game, the 3-2 game at Ibury. That was one of the best games. It was end to end. It was unfortunately Roy missed it.
That 7 years, to be honest with you, of rivalry.
That's why we won.
The managers, the players, the games. Yeah. Arsenal win 3 titles. United win 4. It's quite even overall.
You know, hate just builds. Just
the rivalry.
Yeah, but again, I just think
speed of the game.
I think it was the speed. People forget how fast the game was.
It was so fast.
Both teams proper going for it.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
It was fantastic. Scholes in that game, even Ray Parler. You know,
but ex-players must get offended. I bet your teams from the 70s and 80s, when everyone talks about the game now, it's just been about the Premier League. There's been brilliant football for the last 30, 40 years in English football, whatever, different rivalries.
Yeah.
But that stuff we had with Arsenal for them few years.
It was intense.
The quality of football, I've seen some of the old games. Do not underestimate how good...
Who had the most wins in that period? Was it United? When United
played United,
Arsenal?
Arsenal.
We started to, like, I'd say, like, from 98 onwards, we started to beat them more regularly.
Yeah.
But, like, in between, they were the ones we were always chasing. And even that game was the one when we went back in the dressing room, we genuinely... And obviously, like I say, Roy was injured some of that season as well. Roy weren't playing. So, you know what I mean? There's another opportunity to try and get something.
And which game are you talking about here?
The one at Highbury, when we beat 3-2, Platy scored the winner.
Oh, yeah.
The season you did your crucial.
Yeah.
Right, so for us, we knew, especially with Keno out, like, we knew that this is an opportunity. So when we went back to the dressing room, we knew that we had something.
Yeah.
So what can we do now? We've got to go and we've got to win all the games, which we had to do. Remember Alex Ferguson saying, well, we'll see what I have to do. They've got some difficult games. And in the end, we did it.
Yeah.
But that was the change. We knew we changed.
I think when you talk about rivalry, whichever way you talk about football, on the pitch, off the pitch, Pep Guardiola, Jürgen Klopp, we've talked about him in gushing terms because he's amazing. He's one of the greatest managers of all time. I couldn't speak any more highly about him. But it's not been a rivalry for, like, I know there was a season where they did the 100 points. It was amazing. They beat me. But Pep's just swept up, really.
Yeah.
For 6 years, 5 years. He's won 5 out of 6. He's swept up, really. I mean, I know there's been the odd season, which has been really tight. Liverpool have been unbelievably unlucky. And I think what Jurgen Klopp's done is probably better than what Pep Guardiola's done because of his resource.
Yes.
But that rivalry was like 3 titles, 4 titles, and then the off-the-pitch stuff, and then the ferocity with the managers. Mm. That was a proper rivalry.
It was constantly going. Yeah. Even when we weren't playing against each other, the rivalry was building.
So for me, when you say it's the greatest rivalry, in any sense, I just think, no.
Yeah.
But do you think it's the way they play the game, just because they, like, control it? Like, going back to them rivalry games, like the smashing tackles and the... It's a lot more because they play this controlled football.
On it. We needed to make them understand we're coming and we're going to be here to stay with Wenger. Alex Ferguson was thinking, who's this guy? He's coming and think he's going to come up and start doing... And then we've now got a challenge.
Yeah. Like, I remember them massive games. Like, for us, it was Man City versus Chelsea. And I remember when I retired, I did a lot of work with Emma Hayes. And I still felt this rivalry.
That rivalry's going now.
Because, well, when we played, like, you wouldn't even go... You could just feel the rivalry. She wanted to win so much. I wanted to win so much. Like, sometimes wouldn't even shake hands and stuff like that. And
that's what the rivalry should do.
Yeah, and even after we're working together, I'm like, God, I'm going to have to, like, get to know you. Because she was so passionate. Yeah. And
well, the good thing about that, like, because we say... At that time, I disliked Man United. And it wasn't dislike because I didn't like Roy or Gary or whatever it was. Giggs and all the guys, obviously, Ince was one of my best mates, is that I admired them to the point where I'm thinking, can I reach these guys?
Yeah.
They were so good. The mentality, the way they played, you know what I mean? It was something that they were the yardstick, man, and it was like we were starting to get closer. It was brilliant rivalry.
So why didn't you say this on Monday Night Football when you were...
I don't think I had the time. I couldn't be bothered.
Oh. It was a guest, right? This
is my platform. I'm doing it on my platform. I'm not giving them stuff for free. I'm not going back on there.
But that semi-final was mad, wasn't it? Villa Park game.
That's the best.
That game, to be honest with you, I don't see how that game can ever be beaten for incident of goals, sendings off, missed penalty last minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it was everything.
And then Patrick, the pass what Patrick done. I don't remember him doing a pass.
I know.
Like that across the pitch.
I know.
But like, Giggs, you're watching the game.
Is it Liam Martin, the defenders, they don't go and close it? No.
What's it called? I think he beat Lee about twice in that run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, and then the thing is that people say, oh, he beat him at the near post. But like you should do when you get to a near, he smashed it really high into the net, Giggsy. But it was like where he picked it up from, you're just thinking, someone fouled him. God, someone stop him.
Trippy
he one. Couldn't stop him. Because yeah, Giggsy was that
such a good goal.
It's one of the, I think it's one of the, it could be one of the best ever.
I was sent off. I think I was covering for you. I was sent off at a right back area. I'm just trying to think, where was he?
Who did you
where were you?
What did you do?
Whoever look at the goal where I was, please. He
was sent was it Ray Parler or
something?
Roy, you were so comfortable in the right back area. Why? What was the problem?
I wasn't starting there. That's I was starting midfield, but
I'm sure. Go and cover.
Cover for you. I didn't start in that position.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'd gone forward or maybe something had happened.
I don't mind you going forward, but you got to get back.
He came over rashly and slid in on over Mars. Oh, having already been booked, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, that's... You've got to keep your head in them
just moments. Do you ever look back? I always think that game, and I've never thought it from your point of view, but you think about the treble that season, and you think about... I always think about my brother.
Yeah.
Give away the penalty in the last minute, and then obviously Bergkamp misses Schmeichel. And for to this day, I just don't think... I still shiver a little bit for my brother thinking if that penalty had gone in. But then I think it's also for you, if you lose that game and you've been sent off, you carry that a lot. You carry that a lot, don't you, when you've been sent off? It's horrible when you've been sent off.
The thing,
we would have killed Phil, wouldn't we? Phil would be dead now. He would.
Oh, he'd be queued in traffic.
But that was kind of like...
He's got previous as well, Phil.
Romania, tackling England. But like, can I just say that?
Oh, I love Phil.
That
I'm
team,
sticking up
right?
with Phil.
I like
that
Phil.
Team and how they refused to be beaten.
Exactly.
It's not like they were playing.
I trusted you.
Playing Man City, like
he left it to the right back.
Like, like their team couldn't. They weren't. They couldn't be beaten. They
Do you think you'd gone on the overlap?
I just, if we can find that goal to find out where, sorry, where that sending was. Off, where I was, I think I was inside a little bit maybe, so I don't know what had happened.
You were trying
What's
to add a number.
What's likely to have happened is we'd have had a corner, I'll have stayed back and got drawn centrally, something like that, I don't know.
Gary, what the fuck are
We'll
you
find out.
Yeah, we will find out.
We'll do a Monday Night Football piece on it.
I want to watch this game back.
Oh, it's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a good game. Great game.
Yeah. To be fair, Beck scored a really good goal in that
Beautiful
game.
Goal.
It's forgotten about.
Yeah, a great goal from outside the box.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I say a serious thing. It's been touted in the last month, but strong rumour this morning, obviously we're into international break, that Gareth Southgate is going to be the new manager of Manchester United and that they're trying to get him away from England. Do we see that?
Yeah, could see that happening, yeah. Well, obviously, everyone's thinking he's probably going to leave England in the summer if he has a good championship.
Yeah.
Good championship, thinking if they can win it. And if they don't, you're thinking maybe you ran your race with him. His connection with Dan Ashworth, he worked with previously. Yeah.
I think a bit
not
callous.
That surprised, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a bit callous to the people because, like, when you look at Man United's game just now with the FA Cup, so they've got a chance to maybe win the FA Cup. They're going to have to go some to maybe get into top four. But I think that for them to be talking about it now, it's a bit off key, you know, bringing Gareth like that. But the fact is that if he doesn't win the FA Cup, Ten Hag, and then he doesn't get into the top four, then you probably can have that conversation. But at the moment, he looks like he might do something. Whatever we think that he might do going, like, in the future, he might do something. So I'm not... You know, you see Gareth and, yeah, it's a stand-up guy. You can see how it could be. But, like, it shouldn't be talking about him now, man.
Because of England or Eric Ten Hag?
No, because of Eric Ten Hag. And because, listen, I can't even get into the realms of the pressure that he's probably under. You know what I mean? I'm thinking to myself as well when I say things about him, like, you know, we're the structure, we're not seeing this, not players haven't improved, whatever it is. But I can't get into the realms of what this guy's, the pressure this man's under. Yeah. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? Like, for me, the game I watched against Liverpool the other day felt like, just go. It just felt like, I'm in. Go on, just go. You know what I mean? Because it's like he's at the end of his tether. This man's somebody that needs something to happen.
I hope he doesn't, right? Yeah, I was just saying, but I can see
yeah, you can see where the
Gareth's been linked to it, of course.
Why does it come after a win, though, for Man United? Like, why does it have to be a high and then suddenly... Oh,
and then it's the international break.
It's quite strong this morning. It's quite strong this morning, the rumour.
Is it?
Strange how it comes out now, the international break and...
Garrett
will have to face the media this week. I'm sure he'll be asked a few questions about it.
You know what's strange about it is when you listen to Sir Jim Ratcliffe talk about how he admires how Arsenal's patience with Arteta, which obviously the FA Cup gave him even more time. You know, it does give me the impression that Sir Jim is going to give him time. It feels like it, because if you're talking about Arteta and patience, then he's probably, and he's quite admirable, admirable in the way he's speaking about it, admirable the way he's speaking about it. You just feel that.
But will he make that decision?
Well,
if he brings in people like that, who will be calling the shots and who the manager is going to be?
No.
You don't know who's calling the shots. There's so many layers, isn't there?
But like Dan Ashworth. If he comes in, we'll make the...
Because him and Gareth are tight, right? So that's where the link's coming from, because obviously Dan Ashworth...
Yeah, and if he's made a decision on the manager, it doesn't matter what.
Maybe.
I don't think I can see Gareth Southgate as Man United manager. That's, you know, when you just see it...
But you say that, Jill, but like I see Gareth Southgate standing on the line and the way he will be dressed, his demeanour. I could see him. He's got the stature to be a Man United manager, the way he is. You know, like we're not talking about, and I'm not being disrespectful in a kind of way I am, but his massive big polar necks, and he doesn't look quite dressed like he looks like he's got the stature for Man United with Erik ten Hag. Sometimes you feel that, but Gareth, if we're talking about somebody who looks the part, he'll probably look the part standing on the line for Man United.
So if he was to leave England, what do you think? I think that Eddie Howe or something going in it.
Eddie Howe.
Klopp.
What, England manager? I think he said he wants less stress.
I think the saddest thing now, Gal, is that we can't definitively say, well, it could be him or him for England. If Gareth leaves, who's going to be the manager?
You think Gareth probably, after this tournament, must be thinking...
What more can...
Yeah.
You know,
what more can...
How many years has he been there now?
He'll have done... 18, 20, 22, 24. He'll done four tournaments.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's good.
8 years.
It's good.
Yeah,
If he finishes on a win, that'd be
nice for him.
It'd be so amazing.
I mean, what you said there, Jill, is my thought. I never saw Gareth as a Manchester United manager. Psychologically, never saw that. But I can see it now with, obviously, the fact that that Dan Ashworth comes in. I just think, what does Erik ten Hag need to do to stay as Manchester United? Forget the FA Cup. Does he need to? Is the FA Cup enough, or does he need to get top four, top five?
I think that probably, like I said, listening to Sir Jim, they probably need Manchester United need Champions League football.
He did say that, didn't he?
Yeah, they need Champions League football. The FA Cup, you know, would give the fans something to say. Yeah, brilliant. We've got something. But like,
if you had to pick one, because I obviously can go for the two of them, obviously try and win the cup and finish top four or five. You know,
I think that's
realistic.
What he needs. He needs something like that, because if, let's say, he doesn't do both of them and you do come to the summer, what's he going to use as?
I think Gareth's leaving. I think, to be honest with you, you'll have seen this in tournaments, but it's never easy. England will have qualifiers starting up again a couple of months after the tournament, so they have to have a new manager in, and Gareth will need to sort his future out to get a club potentially for the start of next season. Yeah. So I think if it's done maturely, I can see how it would be brought forward in terms of Gareth. Forget Man United, but forget, you know, Gareth and England. England need to appoint a new manager. So they're going to have to appoint a new manager pre-tournament, probably, and say, look, Gareth's going to be leaving after the tournament, unless he's just going to leave on the last day and they do it quietly, I don't know.
But they bring someone from the 21s, he's been linked with Lee Carsley.
That's where Gareth came from.
I don't think that can happen, to be fair.
He's been linked with it. I'm trying.
He's not been a manager at...
Who?
He's not been a manager.
Under 21s?
Lee Carsley.
Yeah, well, obviously manager of the 21s, but is it in terms of a club?
He was at City as well, wasn't he, in the academy?
He's got a good reputation. Anyway, more of a higher note.
Go on.
The most difficult position on the pitch, central midfield, Kobbie Mainoo.
Pleased that he got the call up, because I think coming into this Man United side, it feels very chaotic when you look at how the midfield is it's kind of all over the place. But when you look at him, if you could get him stabilised, whether he's going to do eight or six, and he's got them players around him, I'm not saying better players. I think
is he, by the way? I mean, to be fair, I don't see him as a sitter. I don't see him as an attacker.
I see him as an eight.
I see him as actually a bit of everything.
Yes, exactly. Exactly what Gareth needs.
I watched, obviously, I do a lot of United games, but what I find with him is, do you know when the ball's being pulled back from the byline from the opposition, he gets into good positions, you know, as a midfield player at the penalty spot to try and intercept it. He reads the game and you look at, in defensive positions pretty well.
But that's what you need as well if you want to play in the middle of the pack. Football intelligence.
You look at him, Gal, you look at Mainoo in respects of what he can do, you look at Rice, what he can do, and then Bellingham, if you just them three, just to say what each of them could do. If you're saying Bellingham's 10, you know, if you're saying Rice is 8 or Kobe's 6, you could even change it where Kobe's 6. You can have, if Declan drops in the 6, Kobe could be 8. You know what I mean? They could, if them two move around.
Will Gareth trust him in a tournament after 2 months?
That's the time to find out.
I don't think so, because you've also got Trent who can go in there. You've got Foden who they can play in the tech. I don't think they trust him to go in and start. I think,
well, timing could be right. The time, he's lucky in terms of the time for him, because obviously Phillips is having a difficult time. Listen, Henderson. Jordan Henderson, whatever, is getting a bit older. Yeah. So maybe that timing. Listen, and the best thing is when you get a player into your camp, as you know, at international football, okay, he's done well at United, but have a look at him closely with the other international players. We've all done it. You've had, when Wayne's come through, you look at a young player, and when you get to see him close up, you go, I like what I see.
Yeah.
You know, listen,
it could happen.
When Michael Owen came into the England squad, obviously he came into Liverpool and he's doing his stuff, we know that he's... Then when you look at him closely, I remember like when he came 98, you look at him, you think, he's ready to go.
He was left out the first two games.
Yeah, he's ready to go, Michael Owen. And you look at someone like Kobbie Mainoo, in United, even a game against Liverpool, again, a big game. You know, some of the things he was doing in such a chaotic game, you think, this guy's calm. This guy can deal with this.
He's got a temperament. It's unbelievable.
That's the key for it. Like,
that's what it is, Roy's temperament.
18, for 18. Honestly. That's incredible. You know? It really is, but...
United play badly in large parts of games, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I always think when United play badly in parts of games, whether it be Luton away or whether it be sort of, I don't know, Newcastle, he's the one that still looks like he's in control.
He's in control. Mm. He's in control. You know what I mean? As soon as they get that structure around, this is what I'm saying, if we could see him at England with, right, you're going to play here. If he goes, then you drop back in here and do your stuff. But the way he moves the ball about, the way he can pass the ball through lines, the way he can get into the box, like you mentioned, you think to yourself, well, what, because he's 18, we should like not do it yet. Throw him in there.
Roy, I want to ask you a question. You played in central midfield for United with a young Paul Scholes and a young Nicky Butt, who are probably, in some ways, the most famous midfield players to come through at United in the last sort of 20-odd, 30 years. Where would you class Mainoo in his first 3 months to where Scholesy and Butty were when they first came in? I mean, I'm looking at it and thinking, how would you see his introduction to theirs?
Yeah. Good question, Gary.
Thanks.
I'd probably compare him with Butty.
Yeah, with Butty more than Scholesy. Scholesy was definitely more, unbelievable, a little bit higher up the pitch when he first broke into the United team. Definitely was playing more off the front, was he not, when he played in them?
He came in a little bit further forward, but sometimes he played back a bit.
Yeah, but if you compare him to Butty, what if he does half as well as Butty, then he'd be doing well. Because Butty, you're going to go back to Butty, and obviously Butty and these young players you're talking about, they're obviously talented, or they wouldn't be at United, you would have thought. But to me, it's their personalities, that temperament. Butty came in, obviously, listen, we know how good Butty was. I'd put him on a par with them. The way they settled into the first team and how they cope with the challenges, playing at Old Trafford or whatever. And, he's got a chance. He's got lots to learn in that position. What would help him at the moment? It is chaotic, but maybe that's a good way to learn as well.
I don't think there's a coincidence that after this Liverpool game and the way it went, how it was end to end, it's all chaotic, and Kobbie gets called up after that because he's dealt with all that noise.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that he's called up now. And you know what? I'm hoping that it's not just to have a look in the stands.
England haven't got players in that position. You've just said that. That's the one area of the pitch they just really struggle
with. It's good for England, though, isn't it, going into a tournament? If you think about how many different combinations you can do with that midfield, because you know at international level, sometimes you need two that are going to protect the back line. Then other games we can go two a bit higher. Yes. And I think the players that we have in the middle of the park, like Rice, Bellingham, Ford, and you speak, there's just so many options. And I'm like, do we go into the tournament with a set 11?
Yeah.
Or is it such a strength that the opposition don't know what we're going to do?
Braithwaite as well.
But it's up to the player now. It's up to the player now when you get in that camp for Garrett and the staff and the other. Because what we all know, when you go into a new dressing room, whatever, your job is to impress the other players as well. So the other players go, oh, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Proper, yeah. Because they see, I say with Jared Braithwaite at Everton, you think to yourself, you've watched him this season, you think, well, he's good. Pace, brilliant. Reading of the game, fantastic. Attacking the ball, brilliant. You know, in both boxes, passing out, you think, they've got to be, surely got to be looking at him. Yeah. Mm. You know, so to see him in there as well, because again, with that kind of pace, you know, next to, I don't know, John Stones, who's having an unbelievable season himself, you know, you're starting to look at it like down the spine of our team is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I think when he watches Rice and how Rice has been freed by Jorginho, mm-hmm. I wonder whether he's brought him in to sit there and have Bellingham and Rice in front, because they'll both get back and after him. I wonder whether he's thinking, well, he can handle the ball, the kid.
Yes.
He's unbelievable on the ball. And then you just throw Rice forward one, because I think Rice isn't...
Rice has always had more in his locker than at sitting room.
He's not... Yeah. Honestly, I've said this a few years ago, and Declan isn't the best at receiving in tight areas with his back to play. Exactly. I think he's better when he's actually facing to play and running forward. Yeah. I think Mainu can receive it in those little areas. So I think having him there and them two, but he's maybe what he may be looking
at. But he's made them mistakes. I remember, I think it was a West Ham away, he got caught, you know, as young players do.
Yeah.
Unless you got to learn the hard way. But yeah, definitely, Rice can be in a more advanced
position. He definitely had
his
ceiling on him, didn't he? And then I think at Arsenal, you see him now driving with the ball, he's scoring, he's assisting, he's taking set pieces. And sometimes I think managers can put a bit of a ceiling on you, but I think when he's gone to Arsenal, as you see, he's been freed. And I've been so impressed with him. The way that he's just hit the ground running, because going to a new club isn't easy as well. But I think
that when you look at what we could put out there as a midfield, you know, people say, oh, they go, oh, you're going to... It's nothing to do
have
with
you
that.
Have you won it? Is it over?
We're in the semi. You're in the semi already.
Oh, Jesus. Semis, the finals. You know what? Honestly, though, right, how can you not be excited about if someone like Kobe comes in and kicks on with Rice and Bellingham?
I like seeing a young
Kane and, like, you know, with...
What, you want me to get excited about England winning?
Who's going to look after Kobbie Mainoo at Manchester United in this next year or two? We know that Marcus Rashford came in. We've seen other young players come in. Who's going to look after him?
Maybe there won't be anybody to look after him. Maybe he'll just have to learn as he goes along.
Is that, I mean...
That's not ideal.
No, it's not.
But it happens.
You need something.
You could say that at lots of clubs. There's lack of leadership at lots of clubs. But at United, yeah, you hope there's one or two lads in the dressing room that we mightn't be aware of. You know, those senior players who mightn't be playing week in, week out. We always use Maguire, for example. That maybe they're helping him along the way. But also, you learn as you go along. I've gone into dressing rooms. We mentioned Stuart Pearce and Des Walker earlier. Yeah, they're great examples, but you still have to learn yourself. You know what I mean? It's just...
You need people to learn off of, right?
Yeah,
because if they're not there...
Yeah, but sometimes you have to learn... You have to have bad players around you as well to learn what not to do.
Right.
You're not going to have loads of great examples in your dressing room to say, this is how you behave, because it's different characters,
but we're asking,
different personalities. Yeah. I learned from Des Walker. I learned from Stuart Pearce. Nigel Clough.
Took the best.
Yeah, different... And I like, that's what I like from them. But I've got my own personality. I can't live his life. Or when I went to United, would it be Robbo or Brucey or whatever senior players are around? Yeah, you pick up little bits. I like that. I don't like this. And you learn. But then you listen. You still continue to make your own mistakes, but yeah, you need them examples. And maybe at the moment, there's not that.
It's just now. You think about how brilliantly he's done. He's been thrust into the England team. He's over the back page of every newspaper. He must be like on cloud nine.
Yeah, but this is the test for him now, of course.
This is where we'll find out even more about
what kind of lad he is.
Yeah.
But the good thing is, because he's playing for Man United week in, week out, I know it's only over a short period of time, you'd like to think when he turns up with England, he's walking into it, he's going, I have this. I've not come from a small team. And this is where, again, like any good player with a big personality, I would say, you're on about Owen or Rooney. When you first get into a big squad, you go, I'm comfortable in this environment.
Being at Man United from a young age and being, obviously as good as he is, your spotlight's on you. Continually from a young age, and he's dealt with it pretty well.
I have to say the England dressing room as well. They look like they've got a good spirit.
Good lads.
That's with Gareth Southgate though, isn't
Gareth
it?
Southgate's that is created Gareth that, Southgate.
Wasn't there not two players fighting about two or three years ago in a canteen? Punching each other. Who was that?
I don't know.
There was. Over a sandwich?
No.
Wouldn't you say that's because they're motivated?
No. He was fighting a couple of years ago.
Was it Sterling, yeah.
But they did a battle with Liverpool City, haven't they?
All right, okay. We all have battles with people.
Like I
and
said,
that needs to happen as well. I think it's good to have a fight with someone.
Let's
not make out England are our best buddies with each other.
Let's go. But I do think going into a tournament young, I think like they'll have no fear, hopefully. Yeah. I do think the injection of that youth, like I think I went to my first World Cup at 19-20 and I just, when I look back at that one compared to my last one, I was so much more nervous at the last one because I think you just go into the unknown, you're just loving it, you've got banter with the team. And I think it's,
you could take it in your stride a bit.
Yeah, whereas when you get older, you feel like, oh, there's so much pressure on you to perform.
Young players bring a different energy, don't they, to the group. And that might give the other players a lift. Because again, I go back to when a good player comes into your group, you go, yeah, I like what
yes,
I see.
Yes, he's going to bring something to
it. It brings energy.
Gabriel's withdrawn. And also,
Thomas Partey refused the call.
OK. So, what about Ødegaard? Tell me about Ødegaard. Them two.
Right.
No,
so we've got,
he's a proper professional.
So I've got to think about this match. So this is where the boss would pull out players in the March game. And I said it a couple of weeks ago. It'll be interesting to see how many City, Arsenal, Liverpool players that are of the... You know, already Haaland and De Bruyne out.
Mm.
So in 98-99... Asked for this information earlier on today. We're going for the treble, obviously.
How'd you get on?
And we had a match. we did it all right. Yeah. And the March International, Beckham, Scholes and me were pulled out of England games.
Did he pull Phil out?
Phil went. with Wes Brown.
Wes Brown,
and
yeah.
Nicky.
Nicky Butt, yeah.
So he used to do that. He'd say, look, you three out, you three go.
Right, yeah.
And that was, to be fair, but that March International, he hated it. I mean, literally, he hated it.
I got the impression that when, for friendlies, all Man United players weren't in and around
There were seven of us, wasn't there, that were in the squad. Like Teddy.
Always get away with it.
It was Teddy.
Yeah.
Teddy, me, Beck, Scholesy, Butty, Phil, Wes. Mm. I mean, there could be more as well at times. Coley,
yeah.
The odd one. If it was international, if it was a proper qualifier, no problems generally, September, October, November. But the March one, if it was a friendly, he wasn't having it. He just wasn't. He said, there's no way our season...
And did you not tell him you wanted to go and play?
No, to be fair, he was one of them that you understood at that stage of the season. I think it's a really badly placed international break in the midst of a title running.
You're in the meat of it.
Push it into early December or August or whatever. It shouldn't. I don't think you should split the season. Now.
Did it not kill you though? Missing. Nobody would ever be able to tell me to miss an international camp.
When you analyse it that way, when you get a manager telling you, put you under huge pressure.
But what did you say to international? That you had an injury?
I think, to be fair,
managers would understand that.
At that time, he'd done a deal. He'd have done a deal with the managers and said, look, come on, we've got a run in, we've got a treble to go for. Yeah. You can have them in the summer, but you can't have them now.
But then at international, you've got to prepare, do you know what I mean? You say about the new lads coming into England, like they need to be around the team. Yeah. They didn't play since November.
Yeah.
Do you know
what I
mean? Of course,
yeah. So it's not,
I will not make, right. I'll make a prediction.
Go on.
That either Declan, Saka, Foden...
Mm-hmm.
I've got a good feeling they'll pull out the second game.
Especially,
do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think they should.
They won't play and Gareth.
Well,
you say
you're saying, but you sit here and talk about how much you're playing for your country, but you're sitting there going they should pull out. And I had that throughout my career. Criticised you.
Well, you in the end fell out badly over with Mick McCarthy over it, didn't you?
Yeah, and I fell out with Ferguson over it because they're the ones putting you under
fell
pressure.
Out with over Ireland.
Yeah, not didn't want me going playing for Ireland, of course.
But I don't get it because it goes club versus country with the managers, right? Like, oh, we want them for club, we want them for country. But I think you have to understand that you've got a top-class player that plays international football and club and they should do what's best for them. But that shouldn't mean pulling them out. Like, I'm sure these fixtures, Gareth will probably be managing minutes and stuff like that because they've got all this technology nowadays. But I don't think you should stop someone who...
I'd be embarrassed. When I was a manager, obviously players are getting called up. I'd be ashamed of my life to... Bring a player in and go, you're not going.
Yeah, I agree.
Wouldn't do it. No, you might say it's different challenges at United and trophies or whatever, but I still think if you're a manager and a player gets called up, you'd be...
Yeah, because...
It's a dream.
I would always go.
So you just said there, though, they should miss...
Yeah, because, like, I'm 60. Not about, you know, that's... Look, I'm thinking now for Arsenal and what Arsenal...
Well, you were crying here about 2 months ago about playing for England and what it means
What do you mean
to
I was crying?
No, when you miss matches. No, you're sitting here going, they should miss matches.
But remember, I was going to the England... I was going to the England squad as a substitute, bro. I was just pleased to be there.
They may not pull out because they have had that 3-4-day break, Arsenal. Obviously, they didn't have the FA Cup, so they could... Because there is a part for me that thinks momentum and playing...
Games, where are England playing? Like, they're not travelling across
Wembley.
Brazil, Wembley, and
Belgium.
And Belgium,
Border
at Wembley. Big games.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I think there's less chance they might pull out. I think sometimes when you're thinking they might be travelling and across Europe.
On the private jet.
Yeah, I know. That does make a difference.
Do you think De Bruyne and Haaland are injured?
They pulled out the other day, and obviously.
Do you think they're injured? Do you think not? There's been
no,
a.
No, I don't
they're
think
not injured.
They're
probably
injured,
probably managing
Belgium were playing Ireland, so De Bruyne obviously was frightened to death of playing against Ireland.
That's why you pulled up.
There's games at this stage of the season. There's games like with the friendly. Of course, you want people like Kobbie Mainoo to be in the squad with the players that he's hopefully going to play in big competitions with. But I think that for certain players, they who've been in the squad for friendly. You know, this is an opportunity to look at other people. Look at other people.
But that's the argument, isn't it? Do you mix it all up? Because obviously you've got the Euros coming up, but then at the same time, them lads haven't had that time as like an 11. They haven't played since November, and I think...
How many games is there now before their first game in the Euros?
I should probably know that.
Four? Is it only four, maybe?
No, there'll probably be a few more. There's these two.
For what? How many games will they have before?
Oh, they'll have a couple, won't they? They'll have a couple, two or three.
But that's what I'm saying. That's all, yeah. So if you're saying just...
Build them relationships and... Do you know what I mean? You can't...
Yeah, Jill, to be fair, you're right. Because I mean, I coached, obviously, with Roy Hodgson for 4 years. You coached, obviously, Ireland. When players pulled out and you knew they weren't probably... You were furious. I mean, you were furious. You were, but we know it happened during our lives that happened as well. It's like the clubs think, well, we're paying the players. We've got a run in. We can't afford to lose them.
Yeah.
We're getting Champions League football, which is massive to us, or we're getting a title, Champions League quarterfinals or semi-finals. That's why there's that push and pull. This March friendly is a bad one.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad one. I think it's in the midst of a title run, it's in the midst of a Champions League games. I think this one should be replaced somewhere, in my opinion. It was always a bad one. Because you really are thinking club now.
Yes.
You're not thinking you're not thinking country. Country comes in sort of May when your season's finished and you've got the tournament. You're not in the September, October, November. You are in a bit of club and country mindset because you're every couple.
You say
weeks.
That, but don't we listen? We speak about we're talking about the countries we're involved in. But you see Ronaldo and all these boys playing for, and they play every international
every time. Yeah.
They literally turn up and they play. That's why what's Ronaldo got 150, 160 caps.
Yeah.
And these guys are under pressure week in, week out because they're goal scorers.
Yeah.
But you don't hear them having chats. And I guarantee if you mention to some of them players, I remember somebody, the lads at Argentina, where we were at United, they were playing friendly matches. Remember, they were travelling.
Across the other side of the world.
Yeah. And Ferguson wouldn't put them under pressure about missing matches.
Wales is a competitive fixture, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they have a playoff.
They've got a competitive one.
Yes, yeah.
So I suppose the international... break.
But the main thing is
I just
is that
can't imagine
here.
Not going away with country. I really can't. I'm like,
if a manager said to you, listen, Joe, I really want you to pull out of this one, and we
I think Harry Kane might pull out.
I would go.
I think he might pull out the second game, yeah. He might play one game. Mm. Or he might do a deal. I think you'll see a deal
loss. Amazing what he's talking about here.
I know, but
the words coming out of your mouth.
I know.
A deal.
I know.
But I think that's
play for your country.
But we're referring to it because Haaland and De Bruyne, I called it a couple of weeks ago.
They were always going to miss them.
I said, you know something, there'll be definitely pullouts in March of these games, and straight away the two best players for City are out.
And what happened? De Bruyne missed a game before they call up, didn't the last game before the international game. He didn't play against Newcastle, did he?
Yeah.
So it's a league out against Newcastle and it falls into place.
Yeah.
But if you play the last game before the games, you go, well, you finished the game. I know you can't turn up.
We did have it, actually, just thinking we had, like, Continental Cup, which is League Cup, Man City versus Arsenal final. Mm. And I remember we had an international break and we were going to, I think it was, like, the She Believes Cup or something, and Arsenal kept a lot of their players behind. And we went away, played these three games for England. We were knackered and we did get beat in that final. And I remember there was a
bit... upset?
Well, not really. I was just, like, I always thought it was the right thing to do. And to be honest, if we'd stayed at club, we had bloody fitness camp. I'd have rather gone away with international, but I do remember that where Arsenal I was like, they are fresher, yeah. And then these players were suddenly ready for the final. So I think if you've pulled out of international, how can you then be ready for your club on the weekend? Surely you're out with injury. So I'm just thinking have that happen.
It happens.
I only pulled out two friendlies where it was done. A deal was done with the manager and the England. Only two.
Mm.
One under Glenn Hoddle, he wasn't happy. And then that one was under Kevin Keegan. Glenn got me into the room.
What did he say?
Well, he basically, I did have a slight issue, but he wanted me back, basically. And so,
what was the game? Was it it weren't a friendly?
So basically, Glenn had this thing, if you were injured,
you still
have to come.
Yeah.
And we'll give you treatment here. So a couple of days in, I got a call from the physio of the club, get back here, have treatment. And they said, no.
We're having it here.
You're having it here. So I went in to see Glenn, said, look, Glenn, the club want me back. They think give me more intense treatment there than in a hotel room. He said, no, you're having treatment here. Anyway, he rang, the boss rang him.
I can't imagine. Did he blast him?
Yeah.
If I was England manager at the time.
And Glenn said, you're going back, but I never want to be put in that position ever again.
Yeah, it's not as awkward, isn't it?
It was awkward. It was, yeah, you've been, yeah, honestly, it was awkward. Because I think I was 20. I'm 23 at the time, by the way. It's 98, 99 this. So I'm, in fact, it's 97, so I'm 22. 22, 23.
But that shouldn't
very
be on you.
Very important player for the club, though, so just...
If right I was Glenn, I'd have done a childish thing on him, man.
But that shouldn't
talking,
be on the player, should
no,
it?
No, but I'm saying you're in that position where you're like, you're hoping the physio sort it out, the manager sort it out, but Glenn was a bit spiky, wasn't he?
He was.
You know, as Kevin was a lot more, you know, he'd have a conversation and a bit more mature, wasn't he?
Mm. Glenn should have... let Alex Ferguson talk, and then he just said, listen, Sir Alex, and then when he went, what? And just hung up the phone on him. Might as well go full childish on
do you know, yeah, I know, but like, he had seven players in the squad.
That's what he couldn't do.
Half the squad was from United. Anything on Forest?
Oh, more point deductions.
Points deductions into the relegation zone. Are they in trouble? They look like the momentum's against them. They're employing referees, coaches, the owners on the pitch.
No, I still think they'll be OK.
You think it'll be OK?
I still think they'll stay up, yeah.
Gal, are we going to get into a scenario where the season's going to finish and then we're not going to know who's going down and what's going on with that?
Well, there could be appeals.
Because there's appeals, isn't there? Because Forest lost 4 points, but they're saying they'll appeal it. So, yeah, if that comes after, how will that work?
Wow, you're going to get...
Everton going to get another whack?
It gets boring after a while, doesn't it, when you hear the legal side of it and what could happen and appeals.
I remember saying...
It's not good for the league.
I think I said it, it's not. I remember saying on Edgar that we should... they should have had something in place, like, to say, right, well, if this happens, then you're going to lose that. But then you think to yourself, you've got the clubs that are saying, well, how comes they've got that and we've got this? So if you put something in place, you know, now it's...
Forest were saying that because they went up to the playoffs and the championship.
Yeah,
whatever way you look at it, the amount of players Forest have signed is...
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
It was 20-odd, wasn't it, in one? So I know they had that 10 players left the previous season.
Of course. When they got promoted, there were a few on loan.
If it doesn't look right, it's usually not right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like when Chelsea, you see them spend... It's not right. It doesn't look right. You know what I mean? Chelsea have now got issues, haven't they, with it? It's like you just... It's madness what Forest were doing.
But what's crazy is that we could go into a scenario at the end of the season.
Yeah.
The season and you don't know if you're going to be relegated or not.
Because City is still waiting as well, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they got some charges.
Who?
Never heard of
them. Who has? Who's got charges
against
City?
Manchester City.
Got charges?
No, don't tell me they've got
more. It's only a couple.
5, 6, 7, is it?
3, 4.
Is that all? That'd be fine. Don't worry about that.
3, 4? Yeah, that'd be all right.
What's the best sports documentary that hasn't been made yet?
Keane.
Roy Keane's
about
what?
Roy Keane's life.
They couldn't pay him.
Or the rights?
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
No.
The rights.
You know what?
You've done everything. You're an actor. Hey, that movie.
Did you watch it?
Brilliant.
The one that Wrighty was in?
Yeah.
Is it?
Brilliant.
What's it called again?
A Kitchen.
The Kitchen.
The Kitchen.
The Kitchen.
Brilliant. Wrighty, honestly.
Thanks.
I have to give you some toffee.
I'm going to have to make that on Netflix. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah,
I'm going to watch
it. I didn't pay for that, did I?
Did you pay to watch me?
You two should do something together.
No, we should be in that new gentleman, like Guy Ritchie as the two bad men.
Where did you go last night for food? Did you go for food last night? You posted something out.
Yeah, we went to.
Oh, you're so cute. Little poor man.
Where did you go?
It's killing me now. We went to it's a one-off. It's every week. Steady on, lads. Yeah, don't get too close.
No, I just want to buy him some dinners.
But Wrighty, we could lose him off the documentary if you keep asking for dinner.
Can I say, you know what?
I'm under way up.
Now you say it, Gal. All seriousness, with a documentary I'd like to see. You know, Emma Raducanu.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about what she done, you know what I mean? She's, ranked 150th. And we're talking just for that period where she won the US Open. 150th, she had to play 3 qualifying matches. She never lost a set on the way to winning the US Open. And, you know, I mean, we're looking at what's happening now in respect to, and she's injured again. She's unfortunately done back.
Emma, you know what I mean?
We should get her on here.
She's somebody that...
Would you like to come on City Football?
Who's so talented, so good. But, like, obviously injuries are causing her a problem. But that, for me, in respect of a tournament, if you was seeing that as a documentary, would probably be...
Saying that, she does more photo shoots than Jill.
Well, have you seen her? I'd put her in more photo shoots than me as well.
But like, you can't judge her like that, Roger.
I'm only joking.
Yeah, I know you're joking, but this is, but people are judging her like, oh, she's doing too much.
Of course they do, that's what people do.
You know? But like, that's, I think that would be a good one.
What about the Neville brothers? Have you seen one?
We've already seen that. It's called the Chuckle Brothers. We don't need another
shot. End of the Seats of Football for this week. Thanks very much, everyone. Hey, a road trip to go and see Phil.
Road trip,
we're going to see Phil, a road trip.
Let's go and see Phil.
Oh, they lost at the weekend.
We should do that. We should go and see Phil.
And can we take an old classical, like, Ferrari?
Oh, yeah. Oh. An Audi SL.
No, we should
Mercedes
all...
SL.
No. We should... No.
No.
We should all have a different vintage.
You're not even going. It's three of us.
No, I'm coming. I want to come. Right, I'm coming. I'm definitely coming, and I want a Corvette.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flimsy stand slowing you down? Well, it's time to upgrade. Armadillo builds durable, North American-made tablet stands and kiosks. We're so confident, we offer a lifetime warranty. So, elevate your business and visit armadillo.com. That's armodillo.com and use code ACAST for 5% off. Armadillo, built to last, designed to impress.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.